Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real, I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
Welcome back to the Nerdcast. Oh, I thought, I didn't realize, you guys muted yourself. That made that whole last introduction.
I muted myself and then just started yelling.
So, for anybody who's paying attention, I said, welcome back to the Nerdcast, and left it open because before we started recording, I told these guys I was going to mute them because they wouldn't stop talking. So instead, they muted themselves and didn't respond. But if you can't tell, the band's back together for episode 20 of season 5, or if we're going by Tyler's numbers, episode 103 of the Nerdcast.
I'm only doing that because we just had 100, so. I feel like we should just do away with seasons now and just do it year-round and just keep incrementing. Because 103, 104 sounds way better.
No, those numbers are hard. Numbers, like.
Did you get
like,
into those
what?
Three digits?
What happens?
Really difficult.
When we get to, like. 1,120. You're gonna eat those words.
Okay, well that's like 20 years from now, so I think we'll be okay.
What's your calculation here?
Yeah, if we actually make it to 1,000,
I'm hiring somebody to just say that number for us.
Exactly. But at the same time, like I think single increments are better than arbitrary season ends. And like, so are we on like 3 now? Because we just restarted with the new. So, it's just, okay, it's one more than the time before.
Okay, it's complicated for you, but let's ask our listeners, what do they want to hear? Because I feel like that's more important.
I don't think they care.
Okay, then why are we having this conversation?
I mean, to be fair, it's not even...
Have you ever known Tyler to find someone else's opinion to be more important than his opinion? Is the
Adam is making a valid point here.
Go with this. Adam Tyler does agree with your opinion on that statement, though.
Well, we didn't even numerically increment the seasons. Like, there's an entire season that's missing.
No, we released 2 episodes of season 2. It's not entirely missing, just most of it. But it also gave us a great title for season 3. But that doesn't matter, because we're now at season 5, episode 20, and that's where we...
103.
Start tonight. So as you can tell, as we said, the band's back together. Aaron, Adam, Tyler, myself, Iggy. And last week, 2 weeks ago, we released our episode we recorded back at Tallgrass Film Festival with our own Ethan and George. Neither one are typically on the podcast, but I say own because they both do provide some fantastic writing materials over at projectnerd.com. And then, of course, last week, Aaron and I were each out. I was out recouping or gathering up all the fantastic stuff we had from Rocky Mountain Con. And Aaron, I don't think really could speak much after that weekend, so she wasn't there.
I got the con cred. You guys wouldn't. I still kind of sound a little bit cruddy.
I mean, it happens.
I was waiting for a joke there. I mean, like anybody.
I'm not going to touch that. I was muted, but I also wasn't going to touch that.
She's got the cred. We don't want to touch that. We're going to just let that go.
So let's dive right in and talk a little bit about last weekend's box office, specifically what's going on this week, which is a weird thing that I need to, I guess, figure out here. So we'll talk a little bit about the Hunger Games thing for Fantasy Movie League. But last weekend's box office, how it played in a Fantasy Movie League, Adam actually did claim his 4th number one finish, although he is still trailing behind Tyler and I. Tyler and I...
Well, I think this was the closest week.
That's what I was going to say. Like,
because
this is the closest
Aaron had a bad week because she didn't put anything in her...
Between Adam, Jared, Tyler, and myself, the difference is, what, 1.4?
Yeah, but even Anne's less than, you know...
Less than 10. 10 million, yeah.
10 million away. Like, everybody's right there this week. It was crazy.
So the gamble again came down to Spectre versus Peanuts. And Tyler and I both went with the Peanuts gamble, double up on Peanuts instead of a single Spectre. And it paid off more for Adam, who went with Spectre, because Spectre's drop was about, was it like around 40%? Peanuts dropped, I think, close to 67%.
Yeah, I, I tripled up on peanuts and didn't fill my whole board.
Yeah, well, it's the right. So the double up on peanuts was better than a single Spectre, but it ate up more of your money, so you had a harder time filling the other theaters. I just went with the Spectre and all of the Martian because it just makes money. It just
I went triple peanuts and four Hotel Transylvania because based on projections, I banked on Hotel Transylvania being the best performer, like the bang for your buck and getting the extra $3 million, because that would have given me an extra $12 million, and then I went in a walk, but it just barely. But I don't even know what top performer was. But
well, none of us picked it. That's why. But Martian again,
The last Witch Hunter.
Martian again, top five finish for another week, over $208 million now, total box office at this point. How close? I know you guys talked about it last week, but pretty close to. It's past Interstellar, if I remember correctly, and it's pretty close to Gravity, or vice versa. One of the it's past one of them, and it's close to the
it's,
other.
It depends on what total you're going off of, but based on what do you want to say? Total box office, it passed Interstellar a little while ago. It's about $20 million ahead, but it still needs to do like just shy of like $70 million to catch Gravity.
Which
at the pace it's staying in the theaters isn't unbelievable. At the same time, it hasn't really had any big openings to go against, and there's some big openings coming.
Right, so. It's going to lose theaters very quickly here, I think.
If just for screen space, like I think people will still see Coke right. seeing it, but like there's no one's going to keep it on screens this much longer. So
fun fact. So box office, of course, you can check out more details of actually what happened at the box office on our MoviePass post that went up last Monday. Spectre also now globally passing $550 million already. James Bond still got some staying power. 2 weeks in a row winning, obviously not going to win this week. Everybody knows what's going to win this week. And the reason I want to get straight to it is because less for box office sakes, more for Fantasy Movie League. So for those of y'all that are following and interested in what's going on, we have a twist this week. So Fantasy Movie League has actually broken up the Hunger Games into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday instead of allowing you to just take it for the whole weekend. It is not possible for you to get more than one day. Like, you will break the bank. I mean, I guess you could grab 2 days, but then you put nothing else on your screens. So both Friday and Saturday
going to be interesting.
Half your budget for each one of those days. So you can add Sunday. And you could add Friday or Saturday, but then you add maybe like one other like movie that's going to maybe make like $200,000 this weekend. That's all you got room for. And then you lose, was it 3 million per screen you leave break or two? 2 million. 2 million, yeah. So this is a little twist that's going to be interesting. And I think
right at the end of the year, we're going to throw a little twist and see what happens. And everybody's going to have to pick, like kind of like you said, do I try to squeeze two Hunger Games out and just hope that it carries me total, or do I need to pick one and then fill the rest of my screens and see what happens?
So what are the projections? Like
now, obviously, there's no projection. I mean, it's still a little too early for projections. You won't get most.
But I mean, they're not doing any kind of early projections for opening weekend for Hunger Games?
They didn't do a huge pre-sale. I mean, obviously not like Star Wars or anything like that. It's the tickets for Thursday have been on sale for a little while, but I guess they have a solid number on what that is yet.
Yeah. There hasn't been any solid, I mean, probably Wednesday, Thursday, we'll start seeing like big projection numbers. But at the same time, I guess the biggest question is if I take Friday at the whole, like 670, like 2/3 of my dollars, do I get Thursday receipts as well? Or am I just getting Friday receipts?
No, the Thursday ties into Friday. So those numbers go together.
For Fantasy Movie League, yes.
And that's why I think
there's a little banner across the top.
Oh, I see.
You can read.
I think that's why the number Sunday is so much lower than even Friday, because I was wondering why. That's my first thought was, why is Friday, like Saturday makes sense to have it the most, and Friday obviously to be bigger than Sunday, but that much bigger. And it's, yeah, because you get those, not even midnight anymore. You get the, what, at 7 p.m., 8 p.m.
Yeah, kickoff at 7 or 10, yeah.
Yeah, so you get those numbers on Thursday in there too. Either way, Hunger Games, I think at this point, our biggest opening weekend at this point right now is Jurassic World. Am I correct? For the year so far? I think so. Tyler's double.
That sounds right.
If it's not, Tyler will correct me here in a second, but if it is, doesn't matter, because I think whatever it was is obviously going to be erased this weekend. And the 100,
and then like 2 weeks later, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Like 3 to 4 weeks, because a month later it's going to be erased again. So I don't know. Any of y'all going to see the Hunger Games this weekend?
Probably.
I still haven't had a chance to go see Spectre. I'll probably go catch Spectre this weekend.
I'm embarrassingly enough, I'm with you on that, Tyler. I need to see it still.
Aaron, you guys hurt my heart.
Actually, I was just thinking about it. I won't go see Hunger Games. I still haven't sat down and watched Mockingjay Part 1. I should probably just...
It's on Amazon Prime or Hulu. One of those two.
One of the services that he's used.
Right. Aaron, there is a free movie. Well, it's not free. You pay for it. But there is a service that you've paid for that will allow you to watch it for free right now. I'm sure of it.
Aaron, you seeing the fourth installment of the Hunger Games franchise?
I sure hope so, but I'm not entirely sure. And I don't know why you guys care to go see Spectre. Like, haven't you heard? You just love James Bond that much.
Because it's James Bond. And yes, I've seen the bad reviews.
Haven't I heard what?
And I've also heard Adam talk about it last week on the podcast. If you would listen to our own podcast, you would know.
I was sick. I was busy.
Haven't I heard what, though? I want to know where this is going.
He was
going
to reference
that. I want to hear you have hard opinions about things that you've never experienced.
I just heard that it was utter shit, like from really good sources. Like they said that at the same time, I wasn't truly impressed with like the last James Bond. I thought it was kind of boring. So whatever.
You shut your whore mouth.
There it goes.
Are these real actual sources or are these your made up sources?
No, these are
scores of people that I invented in my head said it was.
These are specific people who shared their information, their tiny little opinions on Facebook, and I appreciate their movie opinion.
I mean, if it's on Facebook, it must be true.
It's their true damn opinion.
I'm just having fun.
I'm not mad, Aaron. I'm just disappointed, really, is where I stand right now.
You know, the Pierce Brosnan Bond was my favorite Bond. Like,
you are like
the most entertaining.
What's wrong with you right now? Like,
well, here's the deal.
I
grew up watching the Pierce Brosnan Bond, and when I saw the other ones, like, they were okay.
Can you stop for a second? You realize Pierce Brosnan made 4 Bond movies. You keep saying the Pierce Brosnan Bond. So as in...
Like all of his Bond movies.
So,
Can you even name 2 other people who played Bond other than Daniel Craig and Pierce Brosnan?
Disappointed.
Obviously Sean Connery.
And
this guy right now who's playing...
I already said. I said you can't use Daniel Craig.
You can't use him because...
Oh. My recall memory is really bad. So
Tyler,
Bond opinion is really bad.
If you gave me like 5 minutes, I would come up with it without looking it up.
She's gonna go at one point. She's gonna go and name the second guy.
Go ahead and take the rest of the podcast if you need.
I'm gonna just shout it out.
And then
the
third one, who was in also a bunch of recent movies starring some other British actors,
actually talked about him. On the most recent podcast.
She didn't listen to it, obviously, if she didn't hear about Adam's opinion of James Bond.
Would you guys just quit giving me crap, man?
So back to the box office.
No, I will not.
I don't see that. Really don't see that happening.
I have a trivia. I have a trivia question for you guys. Not trivia so much, but just here's an added question, I guess, to even add to our fantasy movie league. So here's the big question. Because
would you ask the question?
Normally... You know, well, I was waiting to be interrupted about 10 more times.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
You were interrupting yourself trying to ask that question.
So normally you have a very clear idea of what, like if a new movie's coming out and there's 2 big movies already in the theater, which one it's going to take a bigger chunk out of. But Hunger Games, the 4th Mockingjay Part 2, is this going to impact Peanuts more or is it going to impact Spectre more?
Doesn't matter. They're both dead.
Yeah, everything's in the
box. I don't think they're dead, but what's it going to impact more? I guess
everything.
Well, obviously, it's going to impact everything.
But I mean,
the key word there, more.
And Spectre was at 30 million. Peanuts was at 24. I'd say they both take a 60% hit. I think Spectre probably gets number 2, but that's because adults can go see it.
Those 2 are going to be so far behind it that the impact is, I mean, you're you're counting nickels and dimes at this point.
I liked Adam's answer though. Spectre will stay at the number two spot. So he's giving.
Is that the question you asked? What's going to be number two?
No, okay.
Because you could have asked that question.
Hey guys, what's going to finish number two next weekend then?
Spectre.
Okay. There you go. Aaron, do you want to put a vote in here too after Tyler and Adam's like.
You know,
your question was bad and you should feel bad.
No clue. And you guys, you know, I appreciate you being kind and sweetly trying to play favorites here and let me have a little bit of opinion, but you guys know that I have none.
Okay, so I'm going to move us on and I'm going to move to...
I mean, if you had to take... I only want to say one thing about it. Okay. You want to take a guest, between specifically, there's been three Hunger Games movies came out and they've made anywhere between 120 to 160 on their opening weekend. So I think it's a conservative estimate is averaging 50 million a day over the weekend. And nothing left on the box office is even going to touch 30. So, I mean, it's going to be a wash.
Surprised anything else gets 15.
Yeah.
So are you going to take one of those days for the Hunger Games in your...
I think you have to take Saturday and I think you have to take Saturday and Sunday and then just bank on using the rest of that money to hit the best performer.
All right.
I mean, you could conceivably do Saturday, Sunday, The Martian, and then a big combination of like Hotel Transylvania, Wish Hunter, Spotlight to fill out the rest of your board. I think that's a fairly safe bet.
All right. We'll see how it plays out. I don't know what I'm going to gamble on, but I think the biggest test then for us on Fantasy Movie League, for Ann and Jared, who probably are listening and competing there much better than Aaron is. What's going to be, how are you going to play those 3 days? That's right. What days are you going to pick? What combination to make it work? So, and then, the other thing of course is movie talk. I did want to move on to something and I did bring it up quickly to get back at Tyler and annoy him. I was going to go straight to the DC Warner Brothers movies, but more news out of the DCWB camp. This one, though, is kind of, I say this one's disappointing like the other ones haven't been. So early rumored now, Suicide Squad, PG-13 rating. What do you guys think?
Fucking just pack it in and go all in on your television shows because you obviously, none of you have any idea what you're doing.
Yeah, I am finally making it through The Flash, and I think I agree with Tyler. Like, their TV shows get it. Like, they're fun, they're entertaining, they're, you know, still dark and gritty, like DC wants to be. I mean, as much as you can get on the CW, but they're enjoyable, and they're fun to, you know, I don't know. These movies, I don't think they can determine what they want to do. And I think that's the most frustrating thing to me is that they're like, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. And we're going to make it PG-13 so that everybody can go see it. It's like, all right, I guess maybe no.
Let me ask this too. All the amazing roles Jared Leto has had, which of those have been in a PG-13 movie? I guess is the question.
My So-Called Life when he was on MTV, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, talking about in movies.
There's nothing about this is surprising. Like, rated R movies just don't make money that the kind that they're putting into these kinds of movies. It makes sense, but they've made this conscious decision. Like, we're not Marvel. Ours are more real and they're darker and grittier, which means we use a darker color palette and people talk like this. But I mean, I just don't know. I don't see anything good coming of this.
I think
so.
February. Is it February when Deadpool comes out that you're going to see a whole different opinion of the R-rated movie and how much money it can make in the movie theater?
But I guarantee you that it doesn't. I should probably turn that off. I guarantee you it doesn't touch any other Marvel movie, like revenue-wise.
I bet it beats Ant-Man.
It's going to beat some, possibly a couple, but it's not going to even come close to like the Avengers or Captain America ones, that's for sure. You know, I agree. Ant-Man, the Fox ones, the other Fox ones, this will be like Fox's winning in terms of, I don't know, the X-Men ones are pretty up there, but it'll at least do better than Fantastic Four. So it'll be interesting how it all plays out.
How much did Ant-Man make? I don't even remember.
Something like 60, somewhere between 60 and 80.
Okay. So it'll probably beat that. But
yeah, I think
that opening weekend, that's what it did. Total? Okay, I thought you were saying total. I'm like, that did way more than that total. Okay.
No, yeah, I think that's just opening weekend.
Okay. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a huge success in February and then Warner Brothers goes back to shooting and they do some recut stuff. Yeah. That's fun.
I just see them just like, damn it. I don't know. Yeah, again, I think they're just a lack of cohesive idea on what the heck they want to do.
Exciting.
I mean, in the entire history of cinema, like only two movies ever have broken like 300 million that are rated R. Ever. And then after that, the number that have broken 200 million is like this long. I mean, I would not be surprised.
If you're 70 million to make a movie, you don't need to make 200. Like you can be a success making 120.
I get that. I'm just saying that DC's not in it to make a $150 million movie. They're in it to make a half a billion dollar movie. You know, like they're all in and they're going to try and compete with. They're trying to make their Avengers. They're trying to make their Iron Man. And so they're going to make it PG-13. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of really important people who get paid a lot of money to have opinions about things that are saying, no, you have to be PG-13. And it's just going to do a disservice to everything they're doing. And you can do it well. I mean, none of the Batmans are rated R and they work. But I just don't see Suicide Squad being what people expect it to be and being PG-13.
Batman works because you get your dose of psychotic villains and you get them in small doses, I guess is a better way to word that. With Suicide Squad, you're opening up the gates. You're opening up the floodgates of DC's, a few of DC's most violent and craziest criminals.
I think they can do it the same way, though.
I don't know.
It's like in Batman, the reason why it was so dark is because there was a lot of implied violence. Like there was a lot of, like they all but showed all the gore. Like when that guy was going to explode because he had a bomb inside of him that was sewed inside of him, that was super twisted and dark, but it didn't show any gore, but it was pretty damn close. You know, there's just, it was,
I mean, you make a good point there. And when you really look back at, especially the Dark Knight, of the three, I mean, that one, when you talk about it being PG-13, definitely flirted with that R line at times. And maybe, you know, maybe as much as Suicide Squad's going to be PG-13, maybe it's going to flirt with that R line. However, at the same time, typically if it's flirting with that line, and much, if I remember correctly, much like The Dark Knight, you're talking about a movie that's unrated up to a couple months before, and they don't know which way it's going to fall. If you're pretty much establishing 6 months plus ahead, this is going to be a PG-13 movie, you're making sure that it's not flirting with that line.
Yeah. What I also think, I mean, I don't want to make assumptions on a movie based solely on like a trailer that comes out a year in advance, but based on just interviews, based on casting, based on that trailer, like I would be surprised if any of those villains that are in Suicide Squad are the villains that we expect that we've seen from the comic books. Like, I feel like the direction they're going with it is going to be, I mean, if Zack Snyder's proved one thing to me, it's that his interpretation of DC heroes is not exactly, you know, every other person's interpretation of them.
You mean in all the many years we've seen of Joker, a Joker in sweatpants and a bathrobe is something we, you know, brand new and different? It is, for those paying attention.
Yeah, I feel like they're leading pretty hard on that, you know, guys who've done bad things that, you know, redemption. Like a couple of them I think will stay bad the entire time. I just don't think you're going to see the nutcases that we come to expect from the Suicide Squad, from some of those characters.
All right. So last week you guys touched on a bunch of movie trailers. And before we move on, and we'll always come back to movies, so before anybody gets worried and thinks this is it for movies on this episode, you're wrong. But before we move on, I wanted to point out, Tyler and Adam, you guys were discussing trailers last week and you forgot one very important sequel coming out. That I'm shocked you guys forgot it.
No, we didn't.
Ride Along 2, also, the trailer dropped for that one. So
no, we didn't.
Anybody looking to catch that?
It was a conscious decision.
It was a conscious decision.
Now, there is a sequel that came out right after we recorded that we should probably talk about, Finding Dory, which I'm super pumped about.
Why are you pumped about that?
I don't know. I just really like Finding Nemo. Who's not pumped about a new Pixar movie?
Apparently Aaron.
Awesome.
I don't know.
Look at that.
why would you be excited about, like, you said it, you said, I really like Finding Nemo. Okay, so why would we have another movie to just exploit those characters in the Pixar formula?
Because, well, one, that's what you do with movies now. Like, there's that's been the story
so
since the
lame.
80s,
Toy
maybe
Story
70s.
Three says hello.
I know.
Toy Story 2 and 3 say hello.
For me, I'm okay with.
Toy Story 3 sucked. Are you kidding me? You liked that movie? Okay, Tyler has quit the podcast. Tyler is walking away.
A couple words.
That movie seriously sucked.
I sucked is a tough word, but it definitely was on the weaker side of the Pixar links. And I'm not a huge Pixar fanboy myself. There's a few that I could definitely live without, including Toy Story 3. I'm with Tyler. I'm excited, especially after watching the trailer. Finding Dory doesn't look that bad at all. I'm not upset about that. I'm not upset about an Incredibles sequel. I am wondering, like, why are we doing a Cars 3? Why are we going to Toy Story 4? I would rather see Finding Dory. I would rather see Incredibles 2 than, you know, Cars 3. Like, Cars 3 is the one to get angry about.
I'm also excited about Kung Fu Panda 3, so deal with it.
That one actually looks good because there's a lot of pandas in it.
I'm actually excited about that one, too, because...
What the...
What? I can't agree with you? That one, okay, first of all.
You just went on this giant diatribe about sequels of animated movies exploiting a formula, blah, 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 blah. So you said a bunch of nonsense.
No, but Pixar, like, they made perfection with Finding Nemo. Kung Fu Panda never had any such high expectations. Kung Fu Panda is just, it's fun. It's
so cute. If you're not good at making movies, you can make as many shitty sequels as you want. But if you're actually good at things, you're when you just phone one in, it's not okay.
It'd be like, come on, what's
Tyler?
Like
Tyler, really give your movie? Best. Give your best at all you do.
Let's think of like a really, really good movie. Oh, let's make a You've Got Mail too. Let's do that. That's a really good movie. Let's just make a sequel of it. Everybody loves that.
That's literally like the worst example ever.
No, it's not. It's a fun, cute movie that everybody loves and super quality.
See, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to disagree because You've Got Mail too. Like, is a very, that's it. That's what do you could try to do something more with those characters, but that's it. Finding Nemo, you wrap a complete story. You could leave it closed. But you also still had a lot left there to go with, and that's what they're doing. Dory has a whole backstory that you never once touched base on
in
Nemo. Now you can. It's who cares? Millions of people who go to the theaters to see it are going to care. That's a care.
The difference is it's not a sequel. It's another story from that world.
That's a good way to put it. That's probably
it's not Finding Nemo 2. It's not another story about Nemo getting lost again and somebody has to go find him and Dory doesn't know where she's going or anything. It's a different story in that world.
If you want to complain about sequels, complain about the sequels that we grew up loving, which was, wow, that really worked. Let's do it exactly the same way the second time around. Not even animated. The Die Hard movies. The
No, Rambo no, that's movies, fine. And that's what I'm saying. Like, where in the world, like, back in the day when Disney used to have sequels, they just went straight to DVD because they were just for little kids. So I'm just kind of surprised that like this Finding Dory thing is really becoming a thing. And
I'm saying. It's not a sequel. It's another story in that underwater world.
Adam wins.
And most of those Disney sequels went straight to video because by the time they were making those sequels, Disney had kind of cashed out on big feature length. Like, they'd shut down all of their, you know, domestic big production stuff they weren't making.
It, late 90s and the early 2000s.
When after, like, after, like, Lion King, they just stopped making.
No, there was a couple more, and then you got into, like, where they tried to, like, play with computer animation.
So
you got into Chicken Little.
One after Lion King.
What was the dinosaur one they did?
And Meet the Robinsons, which was amazing.
I felt like Meet the Robinsons was around the time of the research.
It was kind
of
when they kicked it back up, yeah.
Because that was around Pixar's time. Because when Pixar came back into play, then they combined the teams, really, and then started producing a lot of stuff on the Disney side as well. But anyways, exciting, Finding Dory. Obviously some strong opinions here, so if you have some strong opinions, well,
I'm really not that excited. I really like Finding Nemo in it.
Tyler, I feel like as much as Aaron had a strong opinion on one side of the aisle, you did throw your headset down and get up.
I'm not upset that she's – I'm not excited. My throwing my headset down wasn't like in defense of Finding Dory, which I will go and see and probably enjoy. It was just the sheer hubris that was coming out of screen 4 over here.
Screed 4 would be in reference to Aaron. But let's, I know it's going to be 2 weeks later, but let's give Aaron some more talking time here. Let's talk a little bit about Rocky Mountain Con, because it was our last convention of the year. So I know we missed last week, unfortunately, couldn't give you a quick immediate recap, but we did have such a great time there. A lot of things going on for Project Nerd in the Denver area, and got to hang out with a lot of cool people. So Aaron, anything exciting you want to share from your time at Rocky Mountain Con?
I got to do a lesbian shoot with Belle Sheriff's Batwoman.
All right. She went straight there. So that's
I'm sorry.
We're going to need some more context there.
Question.
It was awesome.
Question.
Did we have our clothes on? Yes. Next question.
That wasn't the question. I don't understand what a lesbian scene is.
Well,
because you've only given me one character. So were you just like there, like hanging on to Belle Cher? What's going on there?
She was holding me in a loving embrace and leaning me back for a kiss, which, yes, I've done that before, but I brought it up to Belle Cher, who is super awesome and one of my cosplay heroes, by the way. That's why it was so badass. I brought it up to Belle Cher because we were running out of ideas, and she's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do the kissy embrace scene. And she said, too. No, she didn't. I made that up. But we did have a lot of fun, and I got to meet Katrina Law and Gigi Edgley, and I got to participate in a really cool cause art competition. And it was just a really all-around good, laid-back, chill show. And I got to do some amazing things. I got to see my great friends like Nightmage and April Gloria, and I got to meet Callie Cosplay. I got to meet Super Casey. It was great. Great, great times. Is that a high five that you're giving me, Tyler? Are you raising
your hand? I have a question. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention because I knew I wasn't going to be able to make it to Rocky Mountain Con. I feel like more effort should have been made to let me know that Chiana was going to be there, because I may have like not taken this job and then got to go see Chiana.
Wait, is that Gigi Edgley?
Yeah, from Farscape.
Dude,
not only was she there, she was just like so a people awesome. Booth over.
Like, I'm just saying, I really like Farscape. I know no one here's ever seen it. It's amazing.
She would have given you a ton of Farscape people were there, but she would have given you all the hugs.
I'm a little upset about what happened this weekend.
Did you know that she's Australian?
Everyone on that show is Australian except for John Crichton, pretty much.
Oh.
It was filmed in Australia. Like all of Farscape was filmed in Australia.
Australia.
Tyler, first thing, I feel like you're a grown ass man. You can make your own decisions there and see who's going to be around. She was like two booths down from us while Katrina Law was just hanging out with us on this side. I had a good time at Rocky Mountain Con as well. I didn't get to do any lesbian shoots. I didn't get to go to that. I mean, as fun as that sounds, trust me.
You can do any lesbian shoots.
I could probably be in the shoots. I may not be invited into the shoots, and I may not be the center focus, but I can be in some lesbian shoots if I need to be.
Lesbians could be creepy, around buddy. You.
Yeah, there you go. Makes sense.
Yeah, that does sound really super creepy.
I was going for the creep there. I don't know. But anyways, we had a great time. Project Nerd definitely launched Barons. Well, first of all, we wrapped up that Bulletproof Kid, and Tyler brought it up last week. And I'm going to say it again, just a massive, massive thank you to those of you that supported that Bulletproof Kid. Fantastic, huge success on a campaign there. And our postcards will be here soon. Our prints are ordered. The comics are almost getting ready. So we're on path for December still. So that's awesome. But right behind that, we launched Barons, the new Kickstarter for the in-house comic with C.W. Cook and Brian Timmons, launched it the weekend of. I think by the time we left that weekend, and a big part, it wasn't all Rocky Mountain Con. There was a lot of you listeners, fans, the site, everything out there. But by the time we left that weekend, we were at what, like 48%, I think, already. And then here at Timer,
we're close to 50. Yeah.
Yeah. Timer recording, we're like around 85%. And hopefully,
$279 to go as of right.
Unless something disastrous happens here, we should be right at or have hit goal by the time this podcast airs. So thank you also. But just because we've hit goal, if we have hit goal, www.baronscomic.com. And I guess there's a W between the – or period in between the www and the Barons Comic too. But anyways, baronscomic.com, take you to the Kickstarter. Even more reason to pledge for the sole purpose of now we're talking stretch goals. So you get bonus goodies with your pledge. Of course, if you back both campaigns, so if you back that Bulletproof Kid, you got a message of why you should back Barons. there might be a special free issue number one of Tobacco Stained Mountain Goat involved for you. So go check all that out. Project Nerd.
Log in right now, get yourself drawn as a character and get a t-shirt. We're home and you'll get a high five and you'll get to be a character in Barons.
There you go. Sweet. Let's do it. Anybody?
No. Done and done.
All right. Tyler's doing it. So anyways, yeah, so a lot of stuff going on with Project Nerd Publishing. Great talks with some creative people over at Rocky Mountain Con, but it was really cool how well received it was. And then of course, Project Cosplay. This was the last, I mean, there's a couple like small things going on in Denver. I know in January there's the gaming convention and stuff, but last really, you know, comic book style convention before Project Cosplay. So getting some word out about that Project Cosplay course, February 19th through 21st in Denver. But we did have a great time. Katrina Law interview up already this week. By the time you hear this, super, super awesome, super sweetheart and fantastic. And totally had a friend crush on her husband as well. He was a super cool guy too. So definitely you get the chance to see them at a convention. He's typically with her, but you get a chance to run into them. Super cool people to talk to. You won't regret it. She was just hanging out, throwing dance parties with the cosplayers, hanging out with her fans, fanboying over Wes's photography, which who doesn't, you know, the portrait dude. So good times all around. Yes, Tyler, Adam, you guys missed out. Rub it in your faces. Rub it in there. So, but also other fun news means we do get to start talking about 2016 Pro Nerd Tour, where we're going to go now. So, I don't know what that look is, Adam. I'm not sure.
He looks like a grumpy cat.
That's my upset that you're rubbing my face in something awesome. Look.
Iggy. Yeah, it totally is. You look just like a kitty cat when you do that. I wish we... Can we take a screenshot? Oh, yes, we can.
Nope.
Boom. Do the picture. Okay. Nope. Sneak up on you and catch you.
Good luck with that.
Face. Do the face.
Nope.
All right, so... Rocky Mountain Con wrap, but as we said, the big thing is that wraps our 2015 Pro Nerd Tour. Adam, Tyler, we're at most of the shows, of course, as always, but we can't thank you enough. Let's see. Let's quick recap this year. We started with, Planet Comic Con, went over to C2E2, Tyler Boudrum, one of our editors and writers up at Tribeca Film Festival, Matt and Marissa covered Emerald City Comic Con, and then we went over to Denver Comic Con, O Comic Con in Omaha. And then we went to,
Dragon Con?
Yeah, we didn't have anybody out there, but I guess we covered San Diego. We had a lot of coverage there. Some of our top traffic items for the year from that stuff. So I don't know if you counted. If not, we did have representation out of Kansas City Comic Con. Then we did go out to Dragon Con, excuse me. Then we had, let me see, who did we have? We had somebody in New York Comic Con. And then we had somebody at Tallgrass Film Festival. A few of us went down there. And then we went over to, Stanley Kamikaze we had representation at. And then Rocky Mountain Con wrapped it all up. So how many is that, Adam?
13
events on the 2015 Pro Nerd Tour. So what a year. Exciting, exciting year. 13 events covered. And, of course, you did see additional photos from other events like BlizzCon, a number of other things too. So as always, you can go over to Project Nerd and check out the Pro Nerd Tour category, search conventions on our search bar, whatever, check out all the stuff because those floor galleries are always fun to look at and see. And we do still have some amazing photos, exclusive galleries to come out of Rocky Mountain Con, including Aaron's lesbian shoot. So,
I mean, that wasn't the focus, but it was my favorite thing to do.
Who were you in the shoot?
Catwoman.
Okay.
I was being held sweetly by Batwoman as Belcher. I mean, Belcher as Batwoman.
Yeah. It goes either way.
I would like to see Catwoman or Batwoman
dress as Belcher.
Cosplay Belcher, yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
I do love the, there was a image going around of the, with the Batwoman holding the little Batman doll. And somebody posted it and was like, every Batwoman needs her Batman. And like diehard fans were like, Wait a second. Batwoman, first of all, is a lesbian. Second of all, in the current run, Batwoman is actually Batman's cousin. So this is making it a little weird. Not going to fly there. So anyways, said convention stuff, always fun. We'll start talking about 2016 tour dates. A lot of them will involve our publishing stuff. So pnpublishing.com, baronscomic.com, projectnerd.com with the Pro Nerd Tour stuff. Adam's shaking his head to all this. for those of you that can't see, but exciting, exciting stuff.
It's exciting. I'm excited. This was me being excited. I shake my head when I'm excited. I can't help.
There it is. So middle of the show there, we break for that. Of course, the other massive thing was you guys talked about it because you recorded Monday night last week as well. So you recorded right before it came out. I know Tyler picked it up. He got his Pip-Boy. But Fallout 4 now been out for a week at the point of recording again here. So, Tyler, you losing valuable hours to your life?
I mean, that's really all I'm doing. I go to work, and then I come home, and I go to the wasteland, and then I do that again.
I didn't know if you were working more, and that's why we weren't seeing you as much involved in our conversations.
No, I really have been working a ton. It's not even that I'm working. I'm working, like, because I'm still starting a new job, I'm working, like, weird adult hours, like 8 to 5 every day. So I don't have I'm not working, like, crazy retail hours like I used to, so... and I've been still, like, because I basically moved all my crap and then started work the next day, I've still been, every day that I haven't been working has been spent, like, unpacking boxes and trying to, like, look like someone actually lives here. If you had seen this wall behind me, like, 7 days ago, it was a different story. So.
Adam is agreeing. I didn't download the video, so I didn't get to see.
Yeah, it was a different story. I saw it a week ago. Exactly. And it was, there were some rough outlines and we filled it in a little bit more.
And that's actually one of the better parts of the room. Like there was other sections of the room that were just literally piles of boxes and stuff. So it was pretty, but I've played a lot of it. I wish I had played more under different circumstances. I literally would have already sunk like 40 or 50 hours into it at this point, but that hasn't been an option. This coming weekend though, it's probably going to get ugly. So.
I was going to say, well, we had, of course, the big midnight release last week, Fallout. It dominated friends list information on Facebook for a while, of course, until the tragic events of last weekend. But then this week we have another huge midnight release with Star Wars Battlefront. And I'm going to tell you what, for those of you who have seen the commercial, everybody leading up to it, and then it cuts to Anna Kendrick doing the little thing, and I can't handle it every time I lose my cool. Tyler I know is right there with me. I know how Tyler feels about her as well. So it's a pretty good advertisement. It's a fun good advertisement in the first place, but then you introduce the geeky girl celebrity who really is awesome. So I don't know if he's pulling it up or what he's doing here. Talk about it. Okay. Did you want to go back to Fallout 4 to talk about that? Pornhub says its gaming audience dropped 10% the day Fallout 4 came out. And yeah, I think they said, what's the other one besides Pornhub? The other.
Tyler would tell us, but he's muted.
He's muted.
I remember seeing those headlines pop up the next day and it just made.
Yeah. But there was the other, cause Pornhub, and then there's another big one. And, they were also saying that their traffic dropped like 20 to 25% or something is what I saw on the Facebook headlines. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. It's not like total traffic. It's specifically gamers. I don't know. Pornhub has crazy metrics that they rank stuff by because they're always on Reddit, like talking about, like showing chart, like visual infographics about porn.
So for those of you getting your free porn, remember they are calculating every little move you're making. So they are tracking you.
Like there's like a person who works there that is always posting stuff on, like officially posting stuff on Reddit, and they'll do these interesting infographics like ranking the types of pornography liked by people accessing on various game consoles. And like at first you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. But then you see like the people who watch Pornhub on their Nintendo Wii have a high preponderance of looking for like Japanese animated porn or hentai or stuff like that. People who are watching on like their Xbox One are watching more of this than your average user. And it's just, I think it's funny. Like it's weird, useless statistics that I think are kind of hilarious to read.
I forget the game systems have just like full blown browsers now. You just throw that free pornography up on your 55, 60 inch television.
I can watch PlayStation on a PS4, an Xbox One, a Wii U.
You can't watch the PlayStation
on pornography
the Xbox One or the Wii U.
Is that what I said?
places. I mean, Wii U even comes with like a handy, like, oh, I'm just going to take this, like a little extra screen. Just take that to bed. And be done.
Yeah, this little guy's coming with me.
Yeah. Wait a second. So you can watch, you have a full blown internet browser on the Wii U. Like, do you?
Well, you can just, whatever's on your TV screen, you can see on your controller screen.
Yeah. So, but the Wii U, right? Like, yeah. So the Wii U has a web browser too.
Yeah, as a really good web browser.
I didn't know that, so that's kind of funny. So you could just still totally like, oh, my tablet's all gross and sticky. I need to switch devices. This thing. I don't know. Like,
I mean, you took it to we were just being academic about it. You took it to a weird place right there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I crossed the line here.
Anyway. How do you assume that people masturbating are dirty masturbators?
No, we were
all the people masturbating are.
We were having an adult conversation with it, and you had to start bringing in.
I'm sorry. Aaron's question though was the best. How do you assume that all these masturbators are dirty masturbators? Like what?
I meant untidy.
Okay. Anyway, so Battlefront, are you guys picking this up too, Tyler? Or are you too invested in Fallout?
I mean, here's the thing. I don't care the quality of the game. I don't really care about really anything about the game. You take a game. You slap Star Wars on the box. You let me hold a lightsaber. You let me fire a blaster. You use the right sound effects, and you have John Williams in the background. Literally, here's my money. I don't even care. The problem is I will buy it, and it'll sit on the shelf while I sink the next 6 months into Fallout.
That's my problem right now is you go from Halo, and then, yeah, it's not to the level, but even so, it's a fun game. I didn't pick it up because of everything else going on. Then you get a Tomb Raider, and then the very next – or the same week of Tomb Raider, you get Fallout 4, and then the very next week you get Battlefront, and it's like –
I still need to pick up
enough games to be able to do all this, and I want Battlefront especially, and I'll probably talk myself into that one.
And
I haven't even got Guitar Hero.
And that doesn't even start to talk about the fact that I still need to pick up the third installment of StarCraft II, because I've played all through all those games too, and I haven't even considered picking that up, because that's another giant time sink. But I think I'm literally just going to let Fallout do what it does, unless... Battlefront. I mean, I played the demo of Battlefront and super enjoyed it. If the buzz gets really good and enough people start playing it, I'll probably pick it up. But it's stupid to spend the $60 on it when two things are going to happen. One, I'm not going to play it because I'm going to play Fallout. Two, depending on performance, I could probably pick it up around Christmas for way less. So.
Yeah, for sure. So for those keeping track, since I'm not an official gamer, I did want to let Tyler and Adam know that I think I did get a third hour of Halo in since I've picked it up. Now, this is not by choice, though. First of all, there are these Kickstarters we keep talking about for these publishing. You guys go support it, get us funded earlier. That gives me some free time to go play some.
Yeah. Well, and you're also not like a true gamer, so.
I let in with that, guys. You didn't even have to, Tyler, I took care of it for you.
Hold on. Can I tell you a story? Okay, so. I only said that because it's what gamers would say. I'm part of this community called the cosplay community where I dress in costume and everybody in the community preaches this. You wear a costume, boom. Doesn't matter if it's store-bought, doesn't matter if somebody gives it to you, if somebody else makes it for you, doesn't matter if you spend 700 hours on it. You're a cosplayer. I've never heard anyone in the gaming community say, you play a game 1 hour a week, you're a gamer. No, they're like, you're not a gamer. You play blah, blah, blah. So I only said it because of that. I'm going to just...
I've actually heard people in the cosplay community say...
They're not in the community.
What if I only wear costumes on Halloween and or Halloween-related parties?
Oh, that's because you're dressing up for Halloween. You want to call yourself a cosplayer?
But it's a costume.
Fine. You call yourself a cosplayer, nobody's going to tell you otherwise.
I mean, I feel like you want to.
Are you going to tell me that you're a cosplayer? Because I'm not going to tell you no. I'm just saying, can you guys seriously say that in the gaming community, in the hardcore gaming community, people would be like, yeah.
Well, you keep putting these qualifiers on it.
It's the most toxic environment in the history of the world.
Thank you. Agreed.
And I'm okay with that.
Done.
Because there are plenty of good pockets that you can find where you have a lot of fun.
Yeah, for every League of Legends.
I'm playing Halo. And then I don't have to worry about the sour people.
Yeah. For every League of Legends community, there's a cool, you know, like Destiny community or a cool, I don't know, Minecraft or I don't know.
Okay, guys.
Gamers in general is a pretty broad generalization.
Yeah. Before we start
We should talk about Gamergate, I think, is what should happen.
No.
False.
We've already covered that, and that's long gone. So anyways, obviously a lot going on in the gaming world. Battlefront, Fallout, Tomb Raider.
Dude, if you get a 20 kill streak in Battlefront, you could be Senator Palpatine and just murder people with lightning from your hands. It's glorious. Tyler, there's a video of it. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'm pretty sure Tyler, that's going to make it hard not to pick up immediately. Anyways, and then of course the other always fun thing, we don't get anything from it, so when you're shopping elsewhere, go elsewhere. But Barnes & Noble, half off Criterion sale happening right now too. So if you can find time to watch some great cinema in between all those video games you're playing, go pick them up.
Barnes & Noble is literally directly across the street from my new job, and it's going to end poorly for everyone involved.
Except for Barnes & Noble. Profits up in Q1.
I mean, I already almost picked up another one of their like collectors, like embossed hardbacks that they do.
They got vinyl now too. They have it like just a whole section of vinyl.
Yeah, there's a whole section of vinyl on mine. Cause the one that across the street from where I work is like one of the full like four story ones. And there's just awesome things everywhere.
All right, guys. So we are running low on time. No frowns. This episode really was just a belligerent rant at each other anyway. So it's not going to hurt us.
Pretty awesome.
Wrap it up. No, it'll probably be our best viewed one or listened one of the season because it's a belligerent rant at each other. But I'm going to let us turn out with some closing thoughts here. Anybody want to get us started? I won't point the finger at Aaron. I'll let people decide.
I want to go back to movies for 1 second.
Okay, this is your closing thought then.
This is my closing thoughts. Two quick things that came out. I'm trying my damnedest to not get excited about it or follow anything about it, but every time I'm like, nope, I'm not going to let it happen, something new comes out about Blade Runner 2 that reels me back in. First, it was the fact that they had Harrison Ford on board and Ridley Scott was going to, write the script. Then they're like, oh yeah, we got Denis Villeneuve to be the director, the guy from like Sicario and stuff like that. I'm like, God damn it. Then they're like, oh yeah, Roger Deakins is going to be the cinematographer. The guy who's most recently, like Skyfall, like his cinematography is phenomenal. And now they're confirming that Ryan Gosling is going to have a role in it of some sort. So fuck everything that you're doing, Ridley Scott. I love you and you're beautiful, but I stop playing. I don't want it to be.
Don't forget about Alien Covenant too from him.
And then the other thing is if there's one franchise, like literary wise, that I've always been a big fan of that's been in development hell for literally decades, it's Stephen King's The Dark Tower series. It was a TV show. It was a movie. It was a mini series. It was a TV show. It was a movie. It was a mini series. I mean, it's been everywhere and everything.
And also a comic.
But it actually was a comic though. Yeah. I'm sorry. Just in development, it was going to be this thing. Then it was going to be that thing. Apparently it's really starting to go forward now as possibly a movie or a movie series. And they have offered a role, possibly multiple roles, but mainly they've offered a role to Matthew McConaughey to play Randall Flagg.
All right.
And I feel pretty good about that.
I'm done
with my thoughts now.
I thought Adam was going to say something there.
And apparently some company went around buying up all the rights to these various movies that had lapsed. And there's some company now that's trying to remake Memento because that's a thing that needs to happen.
Yeah, Memento.
In case anyone wants to be mad about something, get mad.
I do, and we'll rant on that next time because we're low on time. But it remakes a one thing, but a remake when it's still the same generation of moviegoers, why is that a thing now?
I don't know. If you want to get really upset, just know that that big.
That's why I said we need to save it for last time.
Well, that big bundle of film library rights that they've gobbled up also included things like Donnie Darko and Cruel Intentions. So just wait for those ones to come.
Oh, remakes of Donnie Darko and Cruel Intentions. That'll be great.
I can totally see Cruel Intentions for this new teeny bopper crowd with like Josh Hutchinson. Yeah.
Anyway, so Aaron, Adam, one of you want to jump into your final thought?
Timothy Dalton.
James Bond.
Did you Google it?
She looked it up. She definitely.
No.
I don't buy that she knew. I don't buy that she came up with it. Timothy.
I gave her Timothy Dalton.
I know Timothy Dalton.
Because we discussed it with the group at Rocky Mountain Con this weekend.
How about one of the other two?
For a conversation.
Roger Moore. And then there's also obviously others. Googled
it. She definitely just looked down to the screen before she said it.
I'm glad that she went Roger Moore, though, because you could maybe buy that she came up with Roger Moore if she had looked down at her screen and been like, George Lazenby. I would have
been
bullshit.
Lazenby out would not happen. So I guess while we're waiting on Adam and Laura to construct their thoughts, I'll do mine first. Wanted to mention Surge is back. exclusively at Burger King as a frozen drink. And here's the best part about it. Their promotional ads, the weasel, Pauly Shore, is running around what? Burger King drinking frozen Surge. If you haven't seen the commercial.
Is he wheezing the juice?
Yes. Yes. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's amazing. It makes me want to just go to Burger King for that. Just, and I don't even ever go to Burger King. But frozen Surge, promoted by Pauly Shore, right? Right. I know. I'm so excited. So excited for that. So go check it out. When somebody posted that on my timeline, I was like, the weasel.
Let's remake Encino Man.
Oh, please. Yes. Yes. I would got that on for board. Sure. All right.
Only if Brendan Fraser does the caveman again.
We could probably talk him into it. He's not doing anything else right now.
He hasn't aged, and he's adorably gorgeous.
It's true. He doesn't ever age. But all right, Adam, we'll let Aaron finish this up. So, Adam, you go with your...
You don't want me to finish. Just let me go next.
Okay, Aaron, go ahead.
I know who Timothy Dalton is, and I just wanted to say that. So, without further ado, go ahead, Adam.
No, you can't just say, I know who Timothy Dalton is, and then not give any proof whatsoever to the statement of, I know who Timothy Dalton is. With looking into your camera, don't look down at all. Don't look down at all.
I'm not looking down at anything. He played James Bond, and I saw some of the James Bonds that he was in. I saw two of them.
He's only in two of them, so...
Well, that's all I know. I saw two of them. I saw all two of them.
You should know.
Boom, roasted. He's in a shit ton of stuff, and I can't remember. He's a weird-looking dude who's a bad guy in a lot of stuff.
Anything that maybe has a Simon Pegg or a Nick Frost in it?
Oh, shit. That's right. He plays the dad in Shaun of the Dead, right? Nope, that was that other guy who's also British.
Wow.
So wait
That other guy?
That other guy that's totally different looking in every way, shape, and form.
Yes, and he was also in Hot Fuzz.
Well established, Bill Nye.
He was in Hot Fuzz. He wasn't in Shaun of the Dead. I'm calling total bullshit on I know who Timothy Dalton is.
I do know who Timothy Dalton is. I have a picture in my mind that I didn't even Google image search.
Yeah, that apparently looks like Bill Nye.
No, it doesn't look like... Hold on. She knows who Timothy Dalton is. Have y'all not seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Timothy Dalton, obviously the guy.
Isn't he
the new Earth?
Would you stop it? Is that not really Timothy Dalton?
Wasn't he the guy who played Davy Jones in the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes, that was it.
I have a picture in my mind. It looks just like long face, kind of like blondish hair.
Tyler. He also did a bunch of Bond movies. I only saw two of them, but he did a bunch of Bond movies.
I haven't seen
Shaun of the Dead in about 7 years. So, I mean, come on. Give me credit. I forgot that it was Bill Nighy. I know Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton also made an appearance in some of the Harry Potter films, right?
Here, let me describe him. Shush. No, he did not.
Isn't Bill Nighy the one who played like that Russian villain on the Chuck TV show? Is that Bill Nighy? Okay, I was just making sure.
Let me describe Timothy Dalton. He has a long face.
Are you looking at a picture of him on the computer right now?
Like, no, I'm going to share my damn screen with you right now. I can't figure out how to do that. But I'm going to give you – oh, there's a big share screen button. So here's what's going on.
Let me minimize all these.
Hold on, I can't figure out how to do it.
Timothy Dalton has a brownish – he has brown hair, and he's tall. He's really tall, and he has a long face, and he's weird looking.
And he wears T-shirts sometimes?
No, he doesn't. He always wears button-up shirts.
She's thinking about Pierce Brosnan.
No, I'm not. Pierce Brosnan is a handsome man.
Wait, Timothy Dalton was the one, the boyfriend interest in Mrs. Doubtfire, right?
Damn it, no.
No? Okay.
That's Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, I've ran it dry. All right, yeah, Adam.
You guys aren't funny.
Your final thought. Aaron, question.
My final thought is that we are actually pretty funny. It's going to be video game related, obviously, as there's just a ridiculous amount of good things out there in the world right now for video games. So you guys have mentioned several of them already. Battlefront, I'm super excited about. I am still playing the new Assassin's Creed Syndicate game. Very, very fun. If you guys haven't played that, you guys didn't even mention it. So pick that up. And Destiny's hard mode raid is also super fun. So their newest raid has now got a hard mode, and it's very enjoyable.
That's right. Destiny's still saying a thing. That's not Timothy Dalton. Who drew that screen? Who pulled that screen up, Tyler? Okay. I thought Aaron pulled it up, but Dalton. So we have a picture of Bill Nighy up. He wrote Dalton, drew it. Perfect. Anyways, Aaron did share a screen. And the one thing I do want to point out is there were people posting pictures of the frozen Surge on her Facebook stream. So go check it out. Pauly Shore. Everybody loves Pauly Shore.
That's because my Facebook stream has very educated people on it who share very interesting things frequently that are very reliable.
Anyways, we're obviously all back and we haven't talked in a while. So maybe next week we'll be a little less crazy. But if not, that's okay. You enjoy the crazy ones anyways. So that was it for episode 103. And episode 20 of season 5 for the Nerdcast by Project Nerd. That's it. We're signing out. Same nerd time, same nerd channel next week. Catch you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.